Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Well, give a big shout out to our Christian Television Network audience out there and those that are listening to us. I just wanted to pause for a moment. Oh my goodness, you know. You know, as I was spending some time, you know, we were focusing on recently, actually for a long time, we just have an opportunity to talk more about, you know, America and our history and what's going on and all. And I think about what Dr. King said. And I forget the quote, but the quote that Dr. King used was, the greatest injustice of all, I think, is the silence, something of that nature. You can probably think of the quote while I'm talking about it. And you always think about quotes after somebody has done their journey of what they were delivering to mankind and all, and you kind of put their life into sound bites, and you don't realize that that has a lot behind that. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot behind that. It's when good people, you know, do nothing.
Yeah.
And I think the biggest thing that concerns me about what God is showing me, he spent, you know, all last year just downloading our history, and I see why probably they don't teach it, but but we've got to begin to teach it, is because the God's heart's broken over something, and so often we think because, you know, nobody's heart's broken and everybody's silent, then God's heart's not broken and God's silent. Mm-hmm. But God's just, you know, and he's loving. And every human being on the face of the earth, he created in his image and his likeness. And just because you don't like his image does not mean that he does not like his image. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it's like, when you think about the disciples, these are disciples that walked with Jesus. I mean, they were in and out conversation, laying their head, you know, on the chest of God, on the chest of Jesus, hearing his heartbeat, hearing his voice as he would explain to them details and, you know, things that are going on and communicating God's heart to mankind. And I mean, these guys knew, they knew Jesus. Mm-hmm. I mean, they walked out and in his name. They did ministry in his name. And remember this, Judas did too. Mm. And so there's power in the name, in your name,
not my name,
but in his name. And just because there's power in his name don't mean your name's written in the Lamb's book of, but it can be, Matthew chapter 7. Go there. Anyway, so here these guys are. I mean, they're walking with Jesus, man. I mean, they are. They stuck in there. They gave up, you know, everything and said, I'm going to follow you. They were willing to be unpopular. They were willing, when everybody left God, when everybody left Jesus, you know, he talks about it in John chapter 6, that, they stayed. I mean, you think when the whole world leaves, I mean, you know, anyway. And so they stayed and Jesus said, you know, where are you going to go? Mm-hmm. What about you? What are you going to do? And you're always, there's going to be a time in your life that, you know, you're going to face that moment when God's going to say, you know, what are you going to do? You know, what are you going to do? And you're going to have to answer it by your behaviors, by your actions, and what's going on. But the interesting thing, because Jesus had already paid the price for our sins on the cross, he had already been buried in the grave, and he's been resurrected on the third day, and he's walking on the face of the earth in his resurrected body, but he has not yet ascended to heaven. And so he's going down this particular road called Emmaus, this road called Emmaus Road. Mm-hmm. And he's walking with the very disciples that walked with him. Mm-hmm. And talking to him. And so the disciples are talking and saying things like, you know, it's just so sad. You know, Jesus had walked with us. We thought it was going to be like this. And now they killed him. And we don't, they're just depressed and they're sad. And they're explaining this to Jesus. Mm. They're explaining this to Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. And they didn't even know. They didn't realize you're talking to Jesus about Jesus and the answer to your problem standing in front of you. And this is what the word of God says. He says, because he came to them in a different form, they didn't recognize him. Mm. And Jesus says this. He says, whatever you've done to the least of these of mine, you've done to me. Understand this, that you could be complaining about what your perception of what happened with God and what's happening in your life, not understanding you're looking Jesus square in the eye. Because he's saying, Paul, remember, or Saul, he said, why are you persecuting me? And most people would say, I'm not persecuting you. You're up there. I'm dealing with these people here that's got it all wrong. And he says, no, you're persecuting me. Mm-hmm. And so they were talking to Jesus about Jesus, and they didn't recognize him. You know why? Because he came to them in a different nationality, a different ethnicity, a different outer garment that they did not really realize who he was. But their hearts burn when he was talking to them. Mm. And when your heart is burning, when you're hearing and you're speaking, hearing these words from somebody, you're talking to a brother or a sister in the Lord. Mm-hmm. You're talking to family.
Yeah.
No matter if they come to you in a different form, something that you're not used to. And when you look at the history of America, I mean, you can brush over if you want to. You can say those are bygone days, even though it's 90% of the existence of our 1492 Sailing the Ocean Blue experience, is that it doesn't pass by God. In the Third Great Awakening, Rick Joyner talks about a Third Great Awakening, you know, coming to America, and it would come through the African American. It would come through that garment of the body of Christ. And imagine if America misses the Third Great Awakening because you don't recognize that's Jesus.
Mm. Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
It has been done before.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And the thing is that, you know, we're talking about, you know, how I feel. This is my own personal conviction after watching, you know, what apostles do and seeing Dr. King as a Christian American apostle. I mean, if he was Chinese, if he was in South Africa, if he was in Israel, it'd be different. But he lived in the context of our own nation. So you can look at this Christian in the context of our own nation and how he performed and lived his life loyal to the Constitution, loyal to Jesus, and in love. Mm. And so it's like, wow, it's somebody that we as Christian Americans look to. And you may ask the question, I mean, that you think, well, why would there be so much focus on Dr. King? Well, think about it. He's an American Christian apostle, a man who, no matter what you think, led us to the original intent that God had for this country before the spirit of oppression and stuff pushed its way into the Constitution and kind of forced this ratification of a document who wasn't, original intent wasn't that way. Mm-hmm. And it's like, wow, that's huge. That's huge. And you can talk about all these other folks, and they were pretty much there in 1963 on the Mall, but it wasn't until he spoke. And that's how you know, did not your hearts burn, America? Mm. Do not they burn today when you hear the words of Dr. King in the Mall when he's speaking in 1963? Mm-hmm. You see, yeah, that's the difference. The difference is, people can say a lot of important things and do the right things, and what they're saying is absolutely right. But when God is doing it and he's using a man or woman, when they speak, those words burn in your heart. So you recognize Dr. King for who he was and who God brought him to be in our nation by the fact that our hearts still burn today. They burn today with the words of what he said. They burn today with the fact that he talks about, you know, seeing God and understanding the perspective and that we're all of God's children and that we all will walk together. And an unjust law is no law at all, because the Constitution preamble talks about justice for all and for our children's children's children. And that's how you know. Mm-hmm. And so if you want to ask the question, you know, why Dr. King? That's why. Mm. You can say what you want to, but America's hearts are still burning with the words. People are prostituting who he is. People are using his narrative, but they're doing that to Jesus.
Right.
But the very fact is that you're still having to deal with the words spoken out by this man this man in the mall, who you're obviously, if you're saying that, you don't recognize him because Jesus came to you in a different form. Mm. And Jesus is speaking through him, and the nation's heart burns. And you know why? Because he speaks the truth of God and the truth of our nation. We were confronted with our realities, and that generation was. And so I want to just let you know that's the reason why. And so if you're thinking, well, why don't we focus on other folks and focus on, first of all, we're talking from a Christian perspective. You know, that's because if we were in Israel, we would be Christian Israelis. If we were in China, we would be Christian Chinese, if they would let us. You know, if, you see, understand, it's about loyalty to Jesus Christ. So we're talking about the church. We're not talking about, you know, American politics. We're not talking about trying to change folks who don't even walk with God. We're talking about us. Mm-hmm. And so as the church, that's why we would talk about that. And you think, you know, why such a big deal about Dr. King? That's why our hearts are still burning today.
That's right.
And so I just want to encourage you. And, you know, you look at it happened with the apostles of the past, and it even happens with God, where people begin to form their own God and use his name. They begin to form their own version of Peter, their own version. You know, he was the head of the rock of the Catholic, you know. Right. And so you just form stuff. It doesn't matter what, it doesn't change who people originally are and who God called them to be. And it doesn't change Jesus, because you want to shape him into your perspective of him into a different Jesus. He's still the same Jesus.
That's right.
You just lost out because that wasn't him. And so, and I just want to say that. I just want to speak that out. So we, as the church, begin to say, dear Lord, you called us to go win the nations to you in the family, our brothers and our sisters. And you told us right out front that you are love. I mean, you're not, you don't love, you are love. Mm-hmm. And then you say that whatever we do to the least of these who are yours, we do to you. And you confronted us with that reality with Saul. But then you said, and if we don't love our brother, we don't know you. We don't know you because of the fact God is love. And not to God your brother, you know, not to love your brother. It's just totally missed God. For God so loved the world, he loved your ethnicity. He loved their ethnicity, and all the beautiful rainbows and cultures of this world so much that he gave his own son, Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life, and made him the Lord of their life. And that he then begins, at that point, we have a new king. We're no longer part of this world, even though we are. We're in it, but not of it. And we've been made a new nation, a new ethnos in God. So we, even though people look at us and they see the different textures and the different colors of our ethnicity, we see ourselves as brothers and sisters in the Lord, who has the same Father, Father God, who loves us all, who sent his Son, our Lord and elder brother, who died for us all, and we're the family of God.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
It's really important to help your children know that they're loved unconditionally. This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller, and youth researcher and mom of three, Kara Powell, explains.
Kids need to know that they are unconditionally loved, both by God as well as the significant adults, parents and other adults in their lives. And that's been a big theme in our research, is that actually students have some really toxic views of the gospel. The very faith itself, that's a big part of why they drift from the faith, is they've picked up some unhealthy understandings of God's love for them and God's grace.
It's vital that you give your child an understanding of God's love and grace. And you can do that best by showing your unconditional acceptance every day, regardless of his or her performance. You'll find more trusted advice and encouragement for your journey as a mom or a dad at focusonthefamily.com/parenting.
Don't be deceived. Disciples make disciples. David Platt and Francis Chan tell us in the Multiply movement. Listen up.
I think we dilute what it means to be a disciple from the beginning.
And we want to give people an assurance. All right, you're saved. You said it. You raised your hand. All right, you're saved. Without really letting some time be there, not where they have to prove their salvation or earn their salvation, but letting some time be there to see, yeah, has there been a heart change? Like, is the Spirit of God in this person? I don't want to tell somebody, as a pastor or just as a brother or sister. I mean, I love a person enough to say, hey, we'll wait and see. George Whitefield, preacher, Great Awakenings, thousands and thousands of people at a time. He'd be asked after he preached to thousands of people, how many people were saved? And he said, we'll see 6 months or a year from now. And I mean, that's so different from today. We're like, oh, we had this many or this. And he's not saying, well, they got to earn their salvation in the next 6 months. It's, and let's wait and see. And as people have a heart change, then I think they'll genuinely, when they read commands in Scripture, they'll say, I want to obey these. How do I obey these? And there'll be a desire there as opposed to what we often find ourselves doing. And that's saying, well, do this. And people walk away like the rich young ruler that you talked about earlier. Okay, I feel bad. I mean, I'm not going to do that. And there's just not been a fundamental heart change that then leads to life change and new purpose, new mind, new dreams, new passions that really feeds into a desire to make the gospel known.
I mean, it's like the multiply, it's a multiplymovement.com with Francis Chan and David Platt. This is so important. He said, go make disciples. If you don't have anybody in your life at this very moment that can disciple you, find somebody who will. Maybe vinefellowshipnetwork.org is for you. Or go to multiplymovement.com. He's called us to be disciples.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
When you look back, and this is what we're told to do, is imitate those that have gone before us, and especially those who walked in bold faith. And you think about, you know, God is God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jacob, his name was changed to Israel. And so when you see Israel, you're hearing about Jacob. But understand this, Jacob, through the wisdom of God, understood the importance of vision. He understood it. He was in a dilemma because it appeared that he had gotten things the wrong way, even though ultimately he was the one that was supposed to have it. It's really, I mean, God makes sure that when he does something, no man gets credit for it. Everybody's going, well, maybe it's you. Maybe it's you. And he goes off and has to leave town, and he goes to work for his uncle. And his uncle is just very demanding, and falls in love with his daughter. And he's going, man, I want to marry her, right, Rachel? And of course, his father goes, okay, great, wonderful. Work for me 7 years. Can you imagine telling an American that? You work here for 7 years. I don't even live in a place for 7 years. Yeah. We move every five.
All right.
At least used to. And work here for 7 years, and then you can marry her. Can you imagine how loved a woman feels if you would have worked 7 years for her?
Wow.
7 years for her. Some man says, I've been working my whole life for her.
Yeah, right.
No, so he worked 7 years, and his boss, which is also his uncle, his name is Laban, he carries his daughter into the tent, and it's dark, it's nighttime and all that kind of stuff. And he says, there she is, she's right there for you. So he goes into this dark place, and he's so excited because in his heart and in his head, he's in love with Rachel. Mm-hmm. And he goes in the tent, and they have marital relations and all that type of stuff. But then the sun comes up. And he looks over her, and he's going like, what are you doing in here? What's going on? You're not Rachel.
It was more like, what's happening with that eye?
She said, my name is Leah. My name is Leah. And Dad was worried that I wouldn't marry off, so he married me first to you.
goes out to him. He walks. I was just shocked. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I mean, like, think about it. Oh my goodness. We've got to invent electricity. Where's Benjamin Franklin? We need him.
Right. Right, exactly.
And so he goes and talks to his boss and his uncle, and he goes, dude, what's up? What have you done here? Because at that time, when you actually had sex with a lady and a man, that would be becoming one. You're knowing each other. That's marriage. Mm-hmm. And it still is today. Just the world has changed the vocabularies, but understand that God's going to hold us accountable for those type of things. It's adultery, fornication, all that. So he says, oh, don't worry about it. Worry about it? I got this woman in my house. Don't worry about it. You can have Rachel, but you're going to need to work for me another 7 years. Mm. And he went ahead and took Leah and Rachel. Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
Yeah. Where do you work? I work at Laban's place.
Yeah, right.
Meet my wife, Rachel. Hello. And Leah. Hey, how you doing? And anyway, so this is what he begins to say. You know, I have a vision for being out of here. I don't want to be here anymore. I want to work somewhere else. I want to go back to my other land, but I'm going to need sheep. I'm going to need my own flock and all that. And he said, how about if, because you have all these sheep here, how about if I get just the spotted and the speckled and the striped sheep? You know, you keep all the white ones and all that. Talking to his boss, and there wasn't hardly any at all, if any, striped, spotted, or speckled, because it was a good flock. And of course, Laban says, seeing that he doesn't obviously not going to have many, he's like, yeah, you can have that. You can have
the
that.
The deal, right? The
yeah,
deal.
This is it. Yeah, the deal, exactly. The deal.
Yeah.
And so then, understanding vision, understanding he knew where he wanted to go, he knew what he needed to get there, but now he had to show the vision to the sheep. This is how it works. You got to hold the vision in front of them, right? And keep holding it there. And so what he did was, since he wanted spotted, speckled, and striped sheep, he had these white, the regular sheep that would go down to this watering hole, and he took sticks. He took some sticks, and he carved them up to make them look visually like a spotted. One's a spotted one, one's a speckled one, one's a striped one. So every time the sheep would go to the church gathering, every time the sheep would go to the watering hole where the Holy Spirit's speaking to them, you're showing them the vision, then because he understood this, these sheep that were not spotted, speckled, or striped, they started giving birth to spotted, speckled, and striped sheep because he understood vision.
Mm.
I mean, there were so many spotted, speckled, and striped sheep that were birthed from these sheep that weren't spotted, speckled, and striped, and that don't happen, by the way. And with that, that Laban became jealous. Like, all this wealth, that's called wealth, this wealth that you've gotten here, and literally, when he left with great wealth because he had a vision. He had a vision. He knew how to put the vision up. As a matter of fact, he tells us very specifically in the Word of God, not he, but the Word of God tells us through the prophet Habakkuk, in chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, he says, listen, write down the vision and make it plain on tablets. Okay, this stick's going to be spotted, this stick's going to be striped, and this one's going to be speckled. Write down the vision and make it plain on tablets so that a herald can run with it. If you're the only one that knows it, that's not a vision, that's an idea.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be other people can grab it and they can run with it. For the revelation or the vision awaits for an appointed time. It speaks of the end. That's what he wanted, right? He wanted spotted, speckled, striped sheep. He didn't have any. So he went ahead and wrote out the vision on the sticks, what he wanted. So that spoke how it was going to be in the end. That's how it became. So for the revelation awaits for an appointed time. It speaks of the end, and it will not prove false. Though it lingers, Jacob, that's going to take you 14 years to get through all this. Though it linger, wait for it will certainly come, and it will not delay. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Isn't that powerful?
Wow.
And it's like, you know, when God begins to do something in your life and he's putting vision in front of you, and if you push, I don't want to, you push that away and push it away. It's like, this is a process. This is how things work. God shows us where he wants us to go. We begin to soak in the watering of his spirit, and in the process of that bursts out of our life. What happens? The watering hole for us is the Holy Spirit. By the way, we are the sheep. And he is our shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
We're not literal sheep. That's what he uses to describe us. And that's how vision works. He tells us very specifically in his word. So if you're ready to get out of Laban's workplace, if you're ready to get out of a Laban relationship, that if you're ready to get beyond Leah, then listen, go back and imitate those that have gone before us.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Don't forget, VFNTV.com, where you can find everything that you ever wanted to know about VFN TV in the daily video program, and so much more. Also, the torch. You'll see a flaming torch in the left-hand corner. Go ahead and select it. With over 3,000, Pat, 3,000 highlights that are available for you so that you can just search and look and share and pass. A lot of times, the torch allows us to add more to our conversation. We have pictures. We have videos. Mm-hmm. We have graphs sometimes. And just allows you to take more time to really go deeper because we only have a limited amount of time on air. But the torch allows you to just get all the related resources and all the related articles and allows you to go so much deeper. Also, we have different tabs for you under the VFN Torch where you can look up prophecy, all the prophetic words that have been shared, and there have been quite a few. We have wisdom moments. We have original intent, and we have a new one that I'm very excited about, third great awakening. That's what we're believing for. We're here keeping a conversation light. We're here to have a conversation and with hopes and prayers and belief that a third great awakening is going to touch our nation and the pendulum is going to swing back. Instead of hearts and minds and actions that are turned away from God, hearts are going to be turned automatically to God and on fire. Mm. So thank you for being a part of this conversation and thank you for being part of a movement of keeping the conversation light, and that's L-I-G-H-T, the light of the world. And we want to keep Jesus on our minds always. Because he, my goodness, he is the lifter of our soul. We love him, and we just want to do everything that we can to make him famous in the world today.
And so he's saying, listen, that's the reason why people who struggle, they struggle understanding this, is because they don't have faith in to know Jesus Christ, that this is real. That the presence is real. Somebody says, well, that ain't real. It's like, I'm healed, I'm forgiven, I'm blessed, I'm saved. You're sad. Listen, this is going to be the secret. Let me tell you the secret for what's about to happen. Stop being ashamed of Jesus. Stop being ashamed of the power of God. Stop being ashamed to pray in the Holy Spirit when God gives you the utterance. Be God's son and God's daughter. Isn't it interesting? He says, you can talk about anybody you want to. You can say anything you want to. And you can even dog my name out. But if you talk against the Holy Spirit, you may never, ever, ever, ever be forgiven. And how many people attack the Holy Spirit? Ridicule. It's God's Spirit. You're talking about the heart of God. We wouldn't be in the condition that we're in right now if it wasn't for what we're preaching from the podiums or preaching from the microphones. It's the church that sets people free in the power of God. It's us. We're the one that determines destiny. We're the ones that change the DNA of people's hearts that end up beginning to lead a nation in a different direction. It's Christ in us. It's the hope of glory. And so then it's the power of God. Jesus is saying, I'm leaving. I'm sending you the second counselor. I'm the first counselor. And I'm sending him so that you're going to have power, not just to do whatever, just to be my witness. So I witnessed of me, the Father witnessed of me, you see me, now you be the witness of me, and you go tell somebody about me. You can't talk about somebody you don't even know. You can't talk about somebody you don't even believe in. You got to believe. This is not a fiction. This is real. God created everything that you see in heaven and earth, and he filled every bit of it, and he's the one that holds us together. He designed the very seasons and times that we would live only for one thing, to see if you would reach out and touch him. He's not far from you, but you won't even acknowledge him. Now is your day. I'm sorry for what the church has done, but you're still going to answer alone. By yourself, you can't blame anybody.
You've just been listening to A Moment from the VFN Dream Center. Find out more. Join the dream. at vfndreamcenter.org. That's vfndreamcenter.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
There is two types of wisdom. I don't know if you know this or not. There's two types of wisdom. There's one wisdom that's called heavenly wisdom, and there's one wisdom that's called earthly wisdom. And James, the brother of Jesus, talks about in the book of James, chapter 3, verse 13, he's talking about that. This is so important because what we need is sometimes people are just going in general for wisdom. But the truth is, there's two types of wisdom. And just being wise, earthly wise, it's not going to get you any different results. It could be even worse. The wisdom of man is what put Jesus on the cross. So the earthly wisdom is what put Jesus on the cross. So to understand, we need to know the difference in the two. And so James does a real good job of letting us know in James chapter 3, verse 13. He says, who is wise and understanding amongst you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. So understand that if we are truly have godly wisdom and heavenly wisdom, that our life, you can just look at people's life and it's just different. It's you know, even though they may be doing powerful things, they just seem so humble in the context of them doing it, and they're wise in that. And so he goes on and says, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about this or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. Think about it, of the devil. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. You know, why is there so much? What's happening with marriage? What's happening with family? You know what's happening? Earthly wisdom. This is amazing. Some of these, you know, marriage conferences and seminars and trainings and books, and you look, it's like, that has nothing to do with the Word of God. That's earthly wisdom. And it's producing something, just like he says right here, it's producing disorder and all kinds of evil practices. But disorder, you know, order. Well, order would be heavenly wisdom. Disorder would be earthly wisdom. And so understanding that we want heavenly wisdom, not earthly wisdom. So when we're walking in earthly wisdom, that's when bitterness kicks in. I'm bitter, and you got something stuck in your heart. You can't get it out, or you become envious of somebody else or some other position or power or whatever it may be, or relationship, or start getting into all kinds of evil. It just produces sin in our life. When we start operating in the world's ways, it just fuels our carnal nature, and we're held captive by it. And the thing is, like, you know what? What is God's wisdom? Look at God's wisdom. You're gonna find out. We're about to hear what heavenly wisdom is. When you hear this, you're gonna go, oh, I understand why America and the church is the way it is today. Listen to heavenly wisdom. There it is. Verse 17, he says, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. Pure motives, pure. Then peace-loving. Peace-loving. Not a fighter. Peace-loving. You ever seen those people who walk around with like a strifeful cloud around them? It's like, wow, how do you live in this?
Are you always ready to fight?
Yeah, right. Right. He says, but they're peace-loving. They're considerate. Think about that. You first. You just considerate. So listen to this one. Submissive. The wisdom from heaven is pure, peace-loving, considerate, and submissive. Think about that. So a lot of things that are happening right now are earthly wisdom, where people are just like, I don't want anything to do with authority. Any authority at all, when all authority is established by God. And then he says, also, this heavenly wisdom is full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. I mean, there's a huge contrast between earthly wisdom and heavenly wisdom. And it's like, oh my goodness, who would ever know? I was living off earthly wisdom. Maybe your whole life has been, you've been struggling with bitterness and resentment. You've been you can't bring order to your life. You can't bring order to your marriage. You can't bring order to your family, your business, your ministry, whatever it is. You just can't bring order. It's just, you know why? Because you may have been following earthly wisdom, you know, a good idea instead of a God idea. And you got to be able to say, you know what? I got to face the facts, because heavenly wisdom, it comes from heaven. It's pure. I got to get rid of these wrong motives in my heart. It's peace loving. It's considerate. I got to start being more considerate towards people. It's submissive, looking for a place and the opportunity. Where is the authority in the situation? It's full of mercy, good fruit, impartial, sincere. Oh my goodness, Lord, we just ask you for heavenly wisdom in our life. Think about this. Trust God. Think about this again. Trust God. I mean, he's trusting you. Why don't you got to begin to think about this? I'm going to trust God in people. I'm going to trust them. Even if they make a mistake, even if they make a mistake like Adam and Eve did, I'll step in and I'll work something out. But, you know, I'm going to trust them. You roll down there and I'll roll up here. You know, love always trusts. And so I think the church, one thing the church we're going to have to do is, I'm seeing it just from observation and experience, is that, no, don't control the church. Don't control it. Allow her to leave you. You know, allow the church to leave you. Allow those that you're called to leave you. And they follow God through your leadership because God's calling them there, not because you're forcing them there or threatening them there or whatever that kind of stuff is. And that's love, because love trusts. I mean, no wife wants to be married to a husband that forces her to marry him and forces her to stay in relationship with him. She wants him to know, I'm here because I want to be here. And I'm in this marriage and I'm actually following, you know, Ephesians chapter 5, you being the head of me as Christ is head of the church, because I'm willingly doing this. You're not forcing me to do this. That's what my worship to God. It's what I'm doing. And vice versa for the husband as well. And, but at some point we're going to have to trust God and God's people. And they say, well, they're going to make a mistake. You want to talk about yours? I mean, come on. I mean, think about this. This is so important. I mean, that God, when the church was birthed and it was just powerful in Jerusalem, God allowed persecution to come to the church so they would go out and do what we're talking about. And God trusted himself with them, and they went out and preached the gospel everywhere.
Simple fisherman, unlearned.
Yes.
Not with the wisdom of the world, not with knowledge, but he entrusted his word. He entrusted his message to 12.
Yes.
To 12 simple-minded men.
Yes. You know, a doctor, a tax dude, you know, Thomas the doubter, Peter the questioner, you know, all this crew. I mean, he said, you got it, I'm out of here. Almost. And, but yet, because he did that, and because he knew, no, thing is that, I don't know if we have this available on VFN TV, the role of the Holy Spirit, but, it's, you can listen to it, but it's just so powerful understanding, like, oh my goodness, I've been trying to be Holy Spirit. I've been trying to be the Spirit of God. And, one thing you have to deal with when you let go of control is the fact that, everybody that said they were with you aren't, you know, they're not. And, when a man says, well, he stops saying, controlling his wife and saying, you know, you're going to be married to me, he may find out that she doesn't want to be married to him, and she may walk away from that marriage. And that is the reality when he stops controlling his wife, or vice versa, controlling her husband. Well, you have to face the reality when you begin to let go. First of all, remember, if you are doing that, you're putting your hands on Jesus. You're messing with the body of Christ. Whatever you do, the least of these, you do it to me. But understand that when you trust God and you pray over a matter and you trust God in them, and you're instantly beginning, when they become born again, when a person becomes born again, you're training them for the launch at that moment, because you know at some point, like in a natural son or daughter, you're not going to have them, you know, 50 years old in your house. I mean, they're going to start their own family and whatever. So You're like, you're preparing them for the day they know not of, you know, that you're not going to be here. But yet there's people that will stay and they don't know anything. They've never been trained up. They've never been discipled. And if they had to launch out, even after 60 years sitting under someone's ministry, they don't know what to do. They wouldn't know what to do. When it's being the church is not as complicated as religion has made it out to be. But it's not as frivolous as the rebellious has made out to be either. I mean, it's there's a tension between that. And, you know, we're going to have to trust that you can allow people to go into the harvest field and tell people about Jesus and to disciple people and to love them and encourage them. And what do you know? They might be as smart as you. They might be, you know, they just go figure, right?
Imagine that.
Yeah. I know that he's a simple fisherman, but you know what? I think Jesus trusts him. I think Jesus trusts him. And that's what confounded the religious folks. Right. How could this happen without me controlling this? And it's like, do you feel like you really have that much control? I mean, really? I mean, seriously?
Right.
I mean, that's kind of exhausting, isn't it? I mean, a controlling person eventually becomes controlled. And the thing about it is that is not good. That's witchcraft. That's like, that's not good. Mm-hmm. And it's repressive to God's people, and it doesn't allow them to mature. And understanding that if you have a son or a daughter, you want them to mature. But with that, you understand that you're going to have to allow them to go through processes that's going to be rough for them. It's going to be rough for them. It's going to be tough for them. And they're going to have to do the work. They're going to have to do the work and push through and get their strength built up to be able to be strong in life. I mean, you have to allow them to go through those processes. I mean, God's done it to us, and we have to do that for others. And it's like, oh, but I really liked, but no, you don't understand. They will never grow up in God. They will never grow up in God unless you trust God in them. Mm-hmm. You have to trust God in them. And believe me, there's things that they didn't pay attention to when you're talking to them that they will have total recall in the midst of the fire. In the midst of the trials, in the midst of having to eat their own consequences. But those are the moments that we grow up, isn't it? Those are the moments that we mature. Mm-hmm. The day that the $500 power bill comes in, we just kind of like go, whoa.
Oh, boy.
Dad was right. This stuff is not for free. Yeah. You know?
Who sent this here?
Who got my name? Right? And, but that's the same with the church. The church is that we got to say, you know what? Hey, we've been talking for 10 years now. I think you stopped really listening around the sixth year. And now you just kind of criticize what I do or don't do. Why don't you just go out? I'm just going to send you out. And now you can begin a family. You can go out and begin to share Jesus Christ and begin to love on people and lead them to the Lord and disciple them and train them to launch them into their destiny in life. Mm-hmm. That's the way it's done. And then we all relate as family. I mean, the whole church is one church.
Mm-hmm.
And we all relate and we love the church. But, you know, isn't it fair to have everybody to have the chance to be fruitful for God, to be able to go into the harvest field, to have, you know, grape stains on their fingers and vineyard soil on their feet. Remember that we're all going to be held accountable for being fruitful or not fruitful before God. And if gifts was fruit, then Jesus wouldn't have said what he said in Matthew 7, you know, which is many people are going to come to me and said that we used our gifts effectively.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to say, I never knew you. Listen, if you don't love people, you don't know God.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know, I began to learn a lot of things about building, you know, spending time with Pat. Yeah. The more time I'm actually spending with Pat, the less time I'm actually putting band-aids on my thumbs from like hitting the hammer and trying to build something. And I'm learning a lot from him. I remember when we were working on one of the projects we were doing, he pulls out his iPhone and I'm like, an iPhone while we're working, while we're building stuff, middle hammer, 2x4, and he was checking the level of a 2x4. I was like, What are you doing? He's like, I got an app for that. I'm like, get out of here. He's like, yeah. He has a level as an app on his iPhone.
Are you kidding me? A level?
Yeah.
On the phone. And what does the level do? Is that the balancing thing?
Yeah, because I don't know. Apparently he had like left a level in the truck or left a level at the house. And and there it is, like the bubbles and everything, the lines. He was checking the level of his of the 2x4 off his iPhone. And we start talking, and he says, "Yeah, I mean, have you checked out the new app for the VFN TV VFN Daily Radio program?" And I was like, "There's an app for that?" He's like, "Yeah, there's an app for that." He says, "You can go right on iTunes right now, and you can also go on the Android because Android has it now too. You can go on VFN TV, type it in, and there's an app for that. Click download, and everywhere you go, you got us right there with you. You got all the live content. You've got all the live programming. You've got everything right there. It's like VFN TV on the go."
But speaking of Pat, no, really, his son, just a wonderful, was a younger son, Joe Nathan. He and I had a wonderful time, had a chance to go out. Well, actually, no, this is what was going on. This is what happened.
What happened?
Tell I us. Was going to... I literally was going to the store.
Wow!
Because I was going to buy some Lean Cuisines.
Oh wow!
They're amazing little things you throw in the microwave, and it's got a set amount of calories.
They come out with any new ones?
They're not a sponsor yet, but they can be.
They can be. Yeah. Right now we're just calling Queen Cuisines. Anyway, so so I'm going to go because they have them on sale at a particular store or something. So I'm going to go in there. I'm going to grab me some of those things. And I go in there and they weren't on sale.
Uh-oh.
And I wasn't going to, you know, pay that kind of price for a less than, you know, volume meal.
Deck of cards.
And so I'm here. I'm pulling all the way out. And with my buggy, an empty buggy, I'm coming out, and I ran into Pastor Greg Burns coming out. Planning on meeting with him, and you know, we chat a little bit, and I'm heading out. So I'm thinking this. I'm thinking, well, I need to celebrate this because I got to wait for the sale. So I celebrated the delay in the sale by Joe Nathan, and I. We're gonna go to Wendy's.
Okay.
And we're gonna celebrate the fact we're waiting on the sale. Right? This is so exciting. I like where Chris has that box that cannot see him at all. That's a strategically placed box.
I see that thing.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. Right. And it's a Domino's box. Is that what? No, just joking. And so I'm at Wendy's, and I'm going to go in there and just celebrate. We're celebrating this, and Jonathan's celebrating it with me. And he's a real cool dude. He really is. And he reads more books than John. He's just more books than his
dad. He reads more than I do, that's right? For sure.
So tell me what it said. And so I'm ordering my food, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's ordering his, and he was debating between the Baconator.
Yeah,
see, look at that. You were right, Jonathan. I see a look on his face. You're right. Yeah. There he goes. Yeah. Yeah. Or the spicy chicken sandwich. And he's making his decision, so I'm waiting. And finally I said, you know, I would like a number one, and a chili. A small chili.
You already know, huh?
And so
the
lady said, well, we're planning on eating all the chilies, just a small, it's old hamburgers put together in some sauce. It's chili.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Jonathan's giving me that look, the Hamilton look. You know, Pat works out continually and counts his calories.
Mm.
Groceries comes in. Before Tracy brings the groceries in the door, he says, how many calories in that bag?
Exactly.
She says, 324. Come on in.
He has an app for that, right?
Nope. Scans all their stuff. And so, sorry, kids, you can be free. Anyway,
is that why he likes to come?
Yeah. Oh. I'll pick you up. We'll have popsicles.
All right. Just see what that boy eats.
And so, this real nice cash register, and cashier. Her name was Deborah, and she was just, you know, overly friendly, I guess, because she said, "So, do you want chili or French fries?"
Or French fries.
And I don't normally eat French fries. I really don't like that, you know, French fries that much, unless it's those steak fries. Amazing, those are good.
You like yours really crisp.
Yeah, really crisp. Not much. No, you don't like mush either, right?
No mush.
No mush. No mush.
No mush.
Is that German? Anyway, so.
No mush.
Oof. Anyway, so.
anyway.
Spanish. We know. And so.
So you got chili and fries.
No. Yes. And so the cashier says, and this is out loud too. She says, "So you want French fries and chili. I'm like, oh my goodness. And so Jonathan does the typical Pat thing. He looks at me and goes, do you know how many calories was in that thing right there?
No, he didn't.
Yeah. It was funny. And I said, no, I don't want to know. But yeah, it was totally something. Jonathan, you were right. I should not have had that chili.
See, he was right.
But I didn't have supper that night. And I didn't have breakfast.
You were full.
It was amazing. But the biggest thing is this. And we're going to be talking in a minute about Bill Strickland. You've got to hear this about Bill Strickland. Is how much it costs to eat at Wendy's nowadays.
To anywhere.
I was shocked.
Oh, my goodness.
The cashier was shocked. I'm like, do you know what I'm fixing to give you here for this burger and this old burger in a cup called chili?
Yeah, right.
I mean, what am I going to give you for this?
The American dollars?
It was $16 for
what?
$16 for Jonathan, and he ate a standard number whatever, and I had a number whatever with just the chili. It wasn't any much more, and it was like $16. Wow. And she says, "I know this is terrible, isn't it?" She's a good employee. You want to keep her? But I'm just thinking, we have to negotiate this next order because I was going to get a salad for Donna, you know, and afterwards. And I'm thinking, what does it come to? Mm. Fast food is like fast robbery nowadays. So I think it's time to cook. But either way, Jonathan and I had a wonderful time. And yes, it was a few calories, but I waited and burned them off over a day and a half to be able to get rid of them.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off. It just boils down to it. If you don't have a love for a people, you know, persons, your family, you may even hate your own family. You need to find God. God will heal your heart. He'll forgive your sin, and he'll give you his love for mankind. And you just fall in love with people, and you help them, and they hurt you, but you know, because you love God, you just hang in there and you allow God to do what he's going to do. And, but understand that we got to say, you know what, God, you may have to say, you know, maybe you're a pastor right now and you're listening to me. You know, you're going to have to say, God, you know, forgive me for being controlling. I've been controlling your people. I didn't trust them. I didn't trust you. And because of that, they are just infants in you. They have not been discipled. I didn't tell them the real things they needed to know so they could do the real things they need to do that you're going to judge them for the judgment seat. Mm-hmm. And just ask God to forgive you. Then humble yourself and say, you know, now I'm going to begin to repent and live this out differently, and go in there to your gathering of people, ever how many it is, and say, listen, today or last night, I repented before God because I have been controlling you and keeping you in infantile states, not expecting you to grow up, not giving you the tools and the heavenly wisdom that you need to be able to go do what God's called you to do. Now, you're going to find out that some people are going to say, I don't want to do that, you know? Or somebody will say, you know, well, why didn't you do this a long time ago? And they go, well, I did three times. You didn't move, son. I tried to you, you know, that kind of thing. And in the context of that, then you can begin to understand, I need to bring them up in the training of the Lord so they can do what I've been doing.
Right.
So that the day that you go to be with the Lord, which could be in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, you can go and we could be out of here, that you don't want to leave bad fruit behind. You don't want to leave a captive people behind. You want people that will go on because of their faith in the power of God and in Jesus Christ, not in you. Because you gave them everything you had. That's called double portion anointing. They have the double portion. They have everything that you had that God's given you. You gave it to them. But then they have their own personal experiences in God and what God's doing to them. They have all this wisdom just coming like a force to be able to produce in their life. But it's really going to take. And what happens when sheep go out amongst wolves, you know, and evil men, you know, sometimes terrible things happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a pastor right now, again, as we just talked about this week, that's in jail facing a life sentence, a death sentence, just for
winning people to the Lord in Iran and beginning a churches that are meeting in homes over there in Iran. He's facing a death sentence. Oh, that's the reality. I mean, some terrible things have happened to missionaries that have gone into other lands, and some terrible things have happened to missionaries that came to America. But evil things have happened. You know, I'm sending you out like sheep amongst wolves, he said. That's what Jesus said. So you're going to have to say, okay, I'm sending somebody vulnerable out that I really hope they follow God and they do what God's expecting of them. But because you introduce them to God and they're abiding with God, guess what? God will direct them every step of the way, just the way he directs you. It's just pretty cool how that works. And if they go astray, guess what? God will convict them. The Holy Spirit will do what he does in the context of the church. We cannot really be the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, when you find out, I got a list of it. It's on the VFN Torch called The Role of the Holy Spirit. I got them listed out. And hopefully we can put that as a related link to what the segment is right here so you can find it. Or you can go to VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the VFN Torch. And then type in the search area, upper right-hand corner, the role of the Holy Spirit. And you'll go, oh my goodness, I was doing all that. That was my job description, what I did. And then you repent for that. And remember, dealing with the Holy Spirit, that's you can do a lot of things to God. You can do a lot of things with Jesus. But if you start messing with the Holy Spirit, that's some serious territory. He says, you know, if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, that you can never be forgiven.
That's right.
Which blows away some doctrines out there. But in the context of that, so we got to be aware of what the Holy Spirit's role is and allow him to do what he does and honor him in the context of that. And so what's going to happen? We're going to have to train up the church for works of service so that we can all get involved in doing the work, because the church will build itself up as each part does its work. And so all of us, speaking the truth in love, training the church up, believers up, that's the church, training them up so that they can go out and do the work.
Mm-hmm.
That's the purpose of the fivefold ministry spoken of in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and on. He says, you know, it's the Lord that gave these five gifts to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the pastors, the teachers, and evangelists, to do what? To train God's people up for works of service, not to sit and listen to you for 20 years. I mean, come on. What is that doing? What's the point, first of all? Mm-hmm. Secondly, is they have to answer for the life that you told them is of God. Mm-hmm. They have to answer for that. Well, if I told them the truth and they wouldn't want to do it, well, at least give them the chance to reject it.
Right.
At least to give them the chance to say, I'm fearful, I'm afraid, I don't know. And then you can encourage them and train them and love on them. But sometimes, remember, God allowed persecution to come to the church of Jerusalem. And everybody left Jerusalem except the church leadership. Apostles didn't leave. Which means if the men were in control of that, they would have taken the apostles out at that one moment.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, Paul comes back when he's out. And he comes back and talks to James and the apostles there. You know, talking about some doctrine and some things that happened, which means they never did go anywhere. It was just God going, go out into the harvest field and do something for God. You know, tell them about me. And they began to talk. Did they have training? Did they go to school? No, they just went. And the same Jesus, the power of the gospel made manifest, and all of a sudden you have the many Jews getting saved, the Gentiles getting saved. Powerful things were taking place. And why? It's because we obeyed God. We obey God. And so maybe you're struggling with that. Maybe you're thinking, well, my life's going to be totally different. Maybe you're struggling with the fact that, hey, I'm going to lose my house, my job, my car, my 401k, my paycheck. Because the second I start telling them that they are the church and they're going to be expected by God to do everything that God says, then they're going to fire me and hire another one. Well, you're a hireling if that's true. If they can do that, you put yourself in a place to be a hireling. And if they do fire you, then just praise God for it. Now you know. And then you go and begin a new work for God. And don't go find you a place that somebody else hires you. Go and do a new work for God, a pure work for God, and begin to believe him and fall in love with people and the people group that he's called you to, and begin to watch him do what he does and know immediately, even though you might say, oh, I want to be close forever, immediately begin to train them for a launch. Train them to go in their destiny. Train them to do what you are doing.
The Army Navy Store. Come visit us today at one of our two locations to better serve your needs in Crestview and Fort Walton Beach, where we have tactical gear, guns, ammo, multicam, and so much more. Come see us today. Visit Copy Products today with 5 locations on the Gulf Coast to better serve you. They can help you with all of your copying and scanning needs. Copy machines, fax machines, scanners, printers, shredders, and so much more. Contact them today at 850-432-1580. Taqueria Ogies, authentic Mexican food. They're coming all over the Gulf Coast for some. Come get some today. Spicy, hot, and delicious. Your plate is next. DME, Digital Media Education. If you have an interest in learning how to create exciting and impactful videos or how to better understand the technology of recording and producing music, then Digital Media Education is for you. Contact them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.